It's a scene that has become all too familiar to us in America. Someone goes into a school or an office building, shopping mall, or even a public gathering. They pull out a gun and they start shooting. In only a matter of a few seconds, innocent people are dead and others are wounded. Now, each time this scene takes place, each time we watch it unfold before our eyes on TV, there's a part of us that's taken back. We worry about what kind of a world it is that we're handing to our children and where anyone can go anymore to be safe, because, of course, even in churches, people have been shot. But you know, last week's shooting in Arizona seemed particularly tragic. While the doctors were still trying to work to save lives and families were trying to get to their loved ones, as we were watching the events on TV and listening to things as they unfolded, it was almost like there was a tragedy underneath the tragedy. There was something brewing. And sure enough, in less than 24 hours, the storm erupted. And there again, it is something that we are becoming all too familiar with. One party started accusing the other party of causing the whole horrific scene because of the violence that they propagate with their talk about the other. And the other party responded by saying, "We're not the ones who started it. You started it." And besides that, there's no proof that any of this caused anything. And then one very prominent person justified it all by saying, "Politicians have always spoken negatively about each other. At least we don't duo anymore. And it is our constitutional right to speak as we want." You know, I've been listening to it like you have for over 20 years. And I've watched as it has gotten progressively worse. And do you know what is particularly upsetting as an ordained pastor? It's that those who are duoing with each other are professed people of faith. There was a national survey taken during the last presidential election by a very reputable firm. And what they found out was that the majority of Americans say that they want their leaders to be people of faith. And this feeling is so strong in the country today that it is actually considered a political kiss of death if politicians are not willing to at least share part of their faith. Now, do you see a problem with this? I mean, here are people who are claiming to be people of faith who go after each other in very violent and vindictive ways. Is it any wonder that people who stand outside the church, those who are either unchurched or dechurched, are looking at us saying, you know, you got a problem here. And we're not sure that we want to be a part of that. Now, Jim Wallace, some of you may know him. He's the editor of Sojourners magazine. He's what he calls a depossessed evangelical. He was kicked out of a movement because of his political position. He says that we live in a very divided nation. Now that's a no-brainer, right? But he says that if Christians would take their responsibility seriously, if we would claim those things that God told us to do, that we could lead this country to higher grounds. He goes on to point out that from the very beginning of our history, it has been people of faith who have stepped up and have turned things around. It is people of faith who speak up at the injustices. It's the people of faith, not the government, not the laws, who finally tend to come up with the answers to move us forward. If Christians would take their responsibility seriously, we could take this divided nation to higher grounds. But if we're going to do that, the first thing we have to do is to remember exactly what it is we're being called to do. If what we have is not the way to respond, then what should we do? Well, as I told the children, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, they were having a great deal of difficulty. They didn't like each other. They were gathering together and they were fighting and they were arguing. As a matter of fact, Paul even began to wonder if the church would continue. And so he wrote them the rules for new life. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, for you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away all your bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Those are more than just beautiful words. They are our path to a higher ground. And no, the situation that we face today is not unique to our time. When people of faith get it wrong, when we begin to argue and to fight with each other, when we stand in the public arena and start yelling, terrible things happen. Very few of us realize that when Jesus spoke the words that we all know, you know, render to Caesar's that which is Caesar's, it's now been changed to emperor. It was the last week of his life. Israel was occupied by the Romans. And much of what happened to Jesus was very politically motivated. You see, the Jews were tired of the occupation. Not that the Romans hadn't done some good things, but they were being taxed so heavily that many of them were having a difficult time surviving. So they hated the Romans, they hated the occupation, and they were praying that the Messiah would finally come, the one who would ride into Jerusalem and overthrow the Roman government and free them from the oppression. And of course, many of them had decided that Jesus was that Messiah. Now, Rome, on the other hand, they had no intention of giving up their place of power. And so they would persecute anyone they thought was going to threaten them. Now, in the midst of all of that, what had happened was that the religious leaders had a very uneasy truce with the Roman officials. As a result, they were experiencing privileges that no one else did. Privileges that just happened to be leaving them quite wealthy. Rome had also sent word to Jerusalem that if Jerusalem exploded again, heads were going to roll, and it wasn't going to be the Jewish heads. And so the officials there were trying their best to maintain their power and the peace. So it wasn't by accident that the religious leaders got involved in all of this. You see, they sent their little entourage to Jesus with the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? Now, if Jesus had answered yes, the people would have been very upset. They would have turned away from him. But if he answered no, those religious officials were going to go back to the Roman officials and tell them, yes, indeed, this strange man from Nazareth was inciting the people. He was encouraging them to be disrespectful to the law. So in a very God-inspired message, in answer, Jesus said, do you have a coin? Now, there's something that we miss here. The religious officials produced the coin. It is a coin that the good Jewish, faithful Jewish people would not carry with them. They refused to do anything with the Roman coinage except pay the Romans their tax. Why? Because it had the head of Caesar on it, and around the coin it said that Caesar was a god. And yet the leaders had the coin. Think it's a little ironic? I do. But Jesus takes the coin and he looks at it and he says, whose image? And of course they say, Caesar's. And he says, so give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God's. Caesar had not done everything wrong. The Roman government had not done everything wrong. They had built a wonderful system of highways. They had increased health. They had done all kinds of marvelous things. And friends, it's the same with our government today. Our government has very specific duties. Yes, they tax us. Yes, they make the laws. Yes, they protect our rights. And yes, they hold elections. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but read the scriptures. That also means pray. pray for our officials. How many of you have prayed for our officials this week? How many of you have criticized our officials this week? Yeah. Give to Caesar's that which is Caesar's. It doesn't matter what party you are. It doesn't matter where you come down. Jesus says, pray for them. Ask God to guide them. Ask God to open their hearts. Ask God to grant them their wisdom. But don't forget, then give to God that which is God's. You see, our money has images on it too, just like that Roman coinage. Lincoln Memorial, heads of presidents. It is a privilege for us to hold those coins in our hands and to give to Caesar. But there is another image. It's the image that we carry within us. It's the image of God. And as Christians, if we live out of that image, we can move people into a higher ground. And we can do it without the rhetoric, without the violent talk, without the throwing of stones. We can move this world if only we would believe. We carry the image of God within us. And if we live out that image, oh friends, what wonderful things will happen. Even those who are outside of the church know that when the Christians begin to act, miracles happen. According to Adam Hamilton, as followers of Christ, we belong to the one who made us, whose image we bear. So when we are involved in the civic arena, our heart should still belong to God. We are citizens of God's kingdom. Yet for a time, we are citizens of this country. Our task is to seek to be a blessing and to live out our faith, always giving our primary allegiance to the one who made us. We must be careful not to get it wrong. For when we get it wrong in the area of politics is when we lay aside our Christian ethics and Christ's call to love even our enemies and instead engage in slander and mean-spirited partisanship. But when we get it right. Oh, friends, when we remember what we are supposed to do and how we are supposed to do it, we can lead people to higher ground by working for justice with grace, with truth, and with love. We stand for what we believe in a way that is consistent with Christ, with the love that is ours. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Christians, God's heart is breaking with every slanderous word and every act of disrespect. So remember whose image you carry, and then go forth to serve in love. To God be the glory. Amen.